Amen. If I want to also just say, first of all, that we had a wonderful youth meeting on yesterday, a meeting regarding youth ministries in 2025. And I really appreciate all those that came out. We had a great crowd, and we talked about some really important stuff. And we just pray, and we solicit your prayers as we enter into this new year. There's going to be so much that we need to have in focus, but I personally feel that our focus needs to be on our youth. Our focus really needs to be on our youth. And so we're really going to try to put our eyes and our attention on developing our youth a little bit more. That's not the future. They're the now. They're the now. And we're helping them and equipping them so that they can be effective in the future. How's that? And so we thank you for that. Is Maria here? Is that Maria? That's Maria. Maria, can you stand up for a second? Come on front, please. Amen. We had a baptism on yesterday. And I want to introduce, I didn't put my glasses on, so I'm sorry. It says Maria Gatlin Burgos, and we put the Lord on in baptism, buried with him in baptism on the 21st day of December in the year of our Lord, 2024. We welcome you to the family here at the church. Amen. Christmas is upon us. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, only infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly started our sermon series on last week called The Miracle of Christmas. And last week we looked at the miracle of the message. The fact was that Jesus himself was the message. As Logos, he came into this world, a world needing so much. God spoke through prophets, through scripture, and ultimately his ultimate message comes to us through his son. Not only what his son said, but what his son did. Jesus came into the flesh. He became flesh. He came to identify with our hurts, our struggles, our humanity. And he came to also leave us with something. He came to die on the cross and to extend to us this gift. So as we're thinking about Christmas, I know Christmas is coming up. And I don't know about if you got all your gift shopping done, but I haven't even started. Amen. Pray for me. This is every year, though, so it's okay. But as we're in the busyness of all things, let us stop and reflect and remember the reason for the season, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to look at the miracle of the manger, the miracle at the manger. And the manger isn't just part of the Christmas story. It isn't just a small, insignificant thing. I mean, it really is sharing with us something huge. That God would come and humble himself so much to this point. He steps out of heaven, steps into our world, this crazy world that we have, in order to do something for us that we, once again, could not do for ourselves. And for that, we ought to say thank you. You know, it's in this humble place the Lord comes. He doesn't come to a royal bed. He doesn't come to a mansion. And in his humility, he's showing something so great for each and every one of us. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, has stepped into this world. And he's showing us that even in the mess of the manger and all that's going on there, this beautiful, perfect Jesus has come to do something great for us. I want to look at this, the mess of the manger first. The messy reality is Jesus was born in a place that wasn't ideal for him. Many times as people were thinking about Jesus, they were thinking about a king, a conqueror, really a warrior that was going to come to establish and to reestablish Israel as a mighty nation. And so when you remember when even Jesus was going into Jerusalem, you remember the type of animal that he came in on? A donkey or a colt, right? And so he gets on this animal, and as you're saying, there are many believing that Jesus was going to come as a warrior, to come and to lead us against Rome and come reestablish us again as a mighty nation. And yet Jesus comes in not on a stallion, not with an army behind him, a visible army, but he comes in riding lowly on a donkey. And we can see that because we can see this, that God steps out of heaven. Jesus steps out of heaven. And he doesn't come into the finest of establishments. No, he's born, as our brother was sharing earlier, into a manger and into this trough and into the smelly animals. And just think about all of the things that were around there at that time, how dark it must have been and how dirty it must have been and how smelly it must have been. And yet the perfect Jesus comes and he's laid right there amidst all of that. Jesus didn't come to a world of perfection. And that's really sharing with us that he didn't come into this world that didn't receive him, that's filled with hate and anger and murder and all sorts of sin that's out here. He comes into a world of chaos and steps in to make a difference in the darkness. Jesus, as light, comes in to make a difference in the darkness. But this manger's power is in the fact that Jesus, that God, is willing to enter the mess. God chose it. See, here's the thing about God. God could have chosen, once again, to make every person perfect, to make this world perfect, to make it so that there would be no evil and no sin and all of that, and that we would all be robotic, that we would just fall to whatever his command was, we would go to it. And yet, what glory is there for God in that? What glory is there for him to make a man and make an entire world and all that without the possibility of man going and with his own free will choosing to do something different? See, if he made us and forced us to be obedient to him and forced it upon us, then where's the glory? You're just a robot. You're just a program that I programmed and executed, and now you're just doing what I said to. But the glory is that we love God, that we understand the depths of love that he's demonstrated to us. And because we understand the depths of love that he's given to us, now we, as recipients of that love, share that love with others. And so this message of this manger shows us God's willingness to enter into this mess, to not just step into it, I remember going to somebody's house, and the place was a mess. I mean, a mess. And the person couldn't help themselves. Well, they didn't. I don't know if they could. They didn't. But they were in need of great help. And I remember myself, my wife, and some other people went in to help with a mess. Mess someone else made. But when it was done and over with, we did something and we created something. We transformed this mess into a wonderful, beautiful thing. We helped someone that couldn't help themselves, or, well, I think physically, emotionally, mentally, they couldn't help themselves, and so we stepped in. God does that for us every day, doesn't he? God did that for this world. God did that for humanity. God did that. This mess that we couldn't fix ourselves, he sent Jesus Christ to come and to fix it. And Jesus was willing. He was willing. He was willing, and he comes identifying with all of our weakness, with all of our sin, with all of that. He comes, and that's the mess of this manger. But here, Jesus comes, and he brings peace into this mess. And is that the same? Oh, no. All right, it's the same picture. It's the same number. Change to number two, and instead of saying the mess of the manger, the mean of the mess. I'll send you an updated one if you like the updated one. The meaning of the mess. The mess of reality of the manger was Jesus born in here, once again, in order to be able to show us he's willing. He's willing to step into where we are. And didn't Jesus demonstrate that over and over and over again in the New Testament? Whether you were a leper, he's willing to approach you. Whether you're a prostitute, he was willing to talk to you. Whether you were a leper, he was willing to be near you and even willing to heal you. Jesus comes and identifies with even the least of these. He comes and identifies with this world in order to give and to do something, to come and fix the mess that's in our lives. Mess that's caused because we don't have him. What just happened? See, this mess. Y'all gonna have to give me grace this morning. I'm just gonna say it right now. Give you some grace this morning. The meaning of the mess. It's a mess that has purpose. What do we mean by that? Jesus comes into this mess because it highlights it. If you've ever seen maybe some of these YouTube videos or TikTok and all that, you'll see like this transformation. You ever seen the yard transformations? And they'll go in, and there's some people that go around, and they'll look at different homes, and they'll see overgrown yards and stuff like that, and just offer to do it for free in order so they can make video content of showing the before and after and the process. And you'll see some amazing transformations where you can barely even see the house, and everything is tore up and all of that, and yet someone comes in and cleans up the yard and all that, and at the end of the video, wow, you're amazed. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? That's Jesus who was. Remember this man in the Gadarenes that was all messed up? He had the spirit of legion, the demons that were living within him. And it says that he was living in the cemetery. He was cutting himself. He was screaming out. Why? Because he was in pain and he was in torment. But then Jesus came on the scene. And Jesus healed him from what no one else could heal. They put him in chains. That didn't heal him. They put him out of their environment. That didn't heal him. But Jesus comes and heals him. He cleans him of the demons that were there within him. And now it says, afterward, he wanted to go and walk with Jesus and the disciples and go with them. And you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, no. And why? Why? Why couldn't he go with him? The man in the Gadarenes, why? He needed to be a testimony of God's transformational power. His very self, the very fact that you saw this man that was crazy, that was crying out, that was living in the tombs, that was, you know, hurting himself, that was a menace to society, and all of a sudden it says, the Bible says that he saw him in his right mind. Something I missed there. But he's in his right mind now, and here he is, transformed because of what God did, not what man could do, not what he could do, only what the Lord could do. And that's the whole key about this Christmas. Christmas is about the fact that we couldn't fix ourselves. This mess is a mess of our own making because of sin. We choose over and over and over again to go against God and to run from God and do all the and so we're in this great mess. And sometimes we think, because we're in such great mess, man, it's just, I can't get out of this thing. You watch some of them hoarding things on TV, and you got stuff piled up everywhere, and it's just so messy, and you think, I can never get rid of this. We could never. And yet, you'll see on those shows too, they come alongside. They'll walk in there, they'll help. And it's a process now, it's a process. But at the end, it's good and it's better and it looks great. Because of the process that they went through in order to clean up the mess. Because others were willing to help. In this case, Jesus was willing to help. He sees us in our weakness and he comes to redeem this mess. Look at Matthew chapter 1:21. She will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Here's the thing. This was not a mistake, sin. Sin was not something God didn't see. Sin wasn't something that just surprised. God understood it. While God allowed man to make his choice and all that, God knew that man wouldn't make the right choice. And so he put into plan something in order for us, because he loves us, because he knew we would fall and we would fail and we would go astray, he made a plan so that we could be reconciled and brought back to him. See, sin comes and separates and puts a wedge between us and God. And the only way that we can have this relationship restored is with that wall of sin knocked down. Jesus came to do something for us once again we could not do for ourselves. He's coming to save his people from their sins because we're incapable within ourselves of doing it ourselves. Then John 1:5 says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Once again, as I had the image in my head of that manger is dark. It's a dark scene and all that. And so in that dark scene, I actually kind of image and see Jesus as light illuminating that place. It's not in the scripture. That's just something in my head. Pray for me, all right? But I see that. I see that the light of the world has come to illuminate and to show God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's desires for us. See, Jesus came, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Drowning in the water and someone throws out the life preserver to you and all that. You recognize there's nothing I could do, and so I grabbed onto the life preserver. Jesus came and he saved me. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:19 to 21, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God, and I said something earlier, God, as we've received love, we're to give love. I'm going to add on to that, as we receive salvation, we're to share that salvation. All these gifts that we receive from God, when we receive love, to give love, right? And so God desires for us to be rejoice in our salvation. Amen. Maria, are you rejoicing today? All right, Maria's rejoicing today. Rejoicing in what happened on yesterday. We're rejoicing that, but we don't stop in our rejoicing. We recognize there's something we have to do. We are ambassadors of Christ. Jesus came, his purpose was to come, step down into this world and offer, be the mediator for man, coming to give us something, as I stated already, that we could not do for ourselves, the salvation of our sins. He came and did that. Does it for us. And then demands that we do the same, to share that same message to other people. If you're hungry and you're eating now, you go out and now feed someone else. Give someone else some bread because you're now full. And so God desires for us to be in this same part. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're making his appeal. God's making his appeal through us. He's not speaking in someone's ears or through a dream and all that. It's us. It's you. It's me. And so on this Christmas season, don't forget the message. But don't forget to share the message. Don't forget the message. Let's remember the manger. Let's remember Jesus. Let's remember what he did. Let's remember why he did it. But let's also share why he did it to others, letting them know that they can too come in and receive this great gift that God has for us all. Jesus came to bring peace that's not tied to perfection. It's peace that enters into the chaos, brokenness, and the pain of the world. It's the kind of peace that holds firm in the mess and transforms it. Maybe someone here today, you're ready, and you're saying, you know what, I've been walking in mess. I've been living in mess. I need a cleanup. I need my house clean. And so now the Lord comes. He's done all that he's done. We talked about already. What's your choice this morning? See, Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose. He came and stepped out of heaven. He comes to this earth, to people that rejected him. And yet he goes to the cross and he dies, buried in a tomb, rose on the third day, demonstrating his power, his deity, his glory. And after that, he now extends this great gift to us. If you're in a mess, if your life is a mess, we've got one that wants to come in and clean the mess. He wants to come and do something that you cannot do for yourself, that you're incapable of doing for yourself. If you're ready this morning and willing to surrender and throw your hands in the air to the Lord, if you're ready to give your life to him, put your life in his hand, he's ready to receive you. And he's ready to give you the greatest gift ever, this great gift of salvation. Maybe there's someone here today and you're ready. You're ready to come get clean. You recognize and realize that you've been living long enough in the mess. Well, now it's time to turn it over. Now it's time to come to the Lord and let him help you with it. Won't you come today? Jesus told his disciples to go preach the gospel, and they went and preached that gospel. And we see an account in Acts chapter 2 where the gospel was preached, and thousands of people that were in Jerusalem had heard this gospel message. And after they heard the gospel message, they asked a really important question. They said, well, what do we need to do? And Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's someone here today, and maybe that verse is really hitting your heart. Maybe this idea of baptism, while you know, maybe you've been a little resistant and all that, maybe today God is pulling at your heartstrings to come. Don't delay. Every single moment, every single day, right there as I snap my finger, someone has passed away. We have no control of our time. We have no control of the future, of whatever is going to happen. But you know what? You have an opportunity right now. I don't know if we'll have it tomorrow, but you have it now. You know you have it now because you're looking at me and I'm looking at you. Won't you come today while it's still light, while it's still day? Won't you come while you still have time? Don't delay any longer. Won't you come get cleaned in Jesus Christ today? As we come, we sing the song of invitation. Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, pardon not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, will thou be saved? Then oh, why not tonight? Tomorrow sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time more than be wise. Be safe, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then oh, why not tonight? Amen, amen. Just want to give you a hearty Merry Christmas to you all and to your family. families, and I thank the Lord for what he has done this year. This year is closing out quickly. So we're thankful for what God has done, for what God is doing, and for what God will do. And we want to just pray for you and your families. If there's anything that we can do to help any of you in the situations you're going through, please reach out to us. Those that are watching online, we love you. And those that aren't able to be here in person, we pray for you, and we want to encourage you.